Have your Bibles this morning. Romans chapter 3 is where I'm going to begin in a moment. And I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit, but keep your finger on Romans 3, no matter where I go, because I'll be coming back to that. Romans 3. While you're turning there, listen to what this verse says. In Psalm 32, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. You know, there's no one who doesn't need their transgressions forgiven. And what we need to understand, and I hope you understand already, but if you don't, I'm going to quickly explain it to you. Jesus Christ came into this world for one reason and one reason only. And that was to reconcile man, not to himself, but to God. God put man on this earth, a perfect being. Perfect in every way. Perfect in health, perfect in wisdom, perfect in spirit. And man messed it up. And from that day on, man needed a way to get to God. God gave the law. The law in and of itself was perfect because God gave it. But God gave the law, and in giving the law, God said, "Live this way, and you'll find salvation." See, what you need to understand, many people think grace was something sudden and new in the New Testament. But the Bible plainly tells us in Hebrews that Abraham was saved by faith through grace. See, God's always been about pouring out His grace. I mean, some of the songs we've had this morning, "How Great Thou Art," He is truly great, and "Amazing Grace." God's amazing grace is truly that. It is simply amazing in what it does. God's amazing grace takes a wretched sinner, me, and washes away all of my sins, which are many. And folks, I need you to understand this morning, God can and will do the same thing for you if He hasn't already. That's what you need to know more about this morning than anything else, is that God loves you. God sent His Son to make a way for you so that you could be reconciled to Him. And folks, we all need it. There's not a person in this room this morning, and I'm going to show you real quick, who doesn't need it. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3:10 says this, the latter part of it, "There is no one righteous, not even one." What does that mean? All of us, all, me, you, everyone, we're evil. And our hearts are set on evil. Now, some of y'all are probably arguing with me in your mind right now. I'm not evil. Folks, if you've ever done one single little, even if it's something you consider as little, wrong, you're evil. In the sight of God, you're evil. But God, being God, he wanted to make a way, so that's why He sent Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Look at what it says. It describes evil men. Let me just back up and read all that. Back up to verse 11. Or let's just read verse 10. "There's none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know." Look at verse 18. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Basically, what that scripture is saying is evil man is set on having his way. Evil man is set on doing everything his own way. He could care less what God thinks. He could care less what God has done. He could care less what all God has made a way for us. He just wants His way. Folks, in everything in life, that's pretty much covers it. Everybody wants to have their own way. And you know, we cannot, with God especially, have things our own way. I'm going to tell you honestly, there is no relationship on this earth that works when we insist on having everything our own way. I've been married 27, almost 28 years. Trust me when I tell you this. I've only been married 27, almost 28 years because I have not always had everything my own way. Sometimes I got to give in because the marriage is more important than self. Well, folks, let me make you clearly understand this morning. Your relationship with God is far more important than self. And when we insist on having it our own way, we're just pushing God out. Look at all these scriptures, how they describe everything. They're set on evil. They're intent on evil. There is no fear of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I think we have really, in this world we live in, gotten into even the church, we've gotten into this thing, we really don't fear God the way we need to fear God. Oh, God's a God of love. He absolutely is. Never forget that. But in his love, he will hold us accountable for all we've done. The only way he's not going to hold you accountable for all you've done is when the blood of Jesus Christ covers your sins. That's the only way. Other than that, he's going to hold us accountable. So, I'm not a very bad person. I've only done a few bad things. One's all it takes. One bad thing according to our definitions. You ever notice that too? People's definitions of bad things? See, because then we start trying to reconcile the truth with ourselves. Well, it's not all that bad. I mean, compared to this guy over here, I'm not that bad. It's kind of like the guy one time, this mobster, his brother died. And this mobster goes to the preacher and says, "Preacher, I want you to make my brother out to be a saint at the funeral." Man, the preacher's really struggling with that. He says, "If you do, here's a check for $1 million. Just make it happen." And the preacher's like, "How am I going to do that?" Because the guy, there's nothing good in the guy. He was evil. So he gets up to preach the sermon. And he begins. He says, "Well, folks, I want you to know this morning that the man laying in his casket was a lawbreaker. He was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He ran drugs. He ran gambling houses. He ran houses of ill repute. But folks, let me tell you this morning, compared to his brother, he's a saint." See, that's what we want to do. We want to compare ourselves to someone else. And so we spend a whole lot of time looking at other people's business. Say, "Well, I'm better than that person is." I guarantee you, if you look, you're going to have to look far. You'll find somebody who's got a life more messed up than yours. Some of you are thinking, "No, it's not possible." But I guarantee if you looked hard enough, you'd probably find them. But at the same time, you'll find people whose lives aren't as messed up as yours. But if you look at it from God's point of view, what you will find out is that everybody you look at is messed up. Everybody you see has a need, and that need is God. He is the only thing that will fulfill that need. He is the only thing that will fix that need. Verse 10 says man is evil. Verse 18 says man is arrogant and prideful because he does not fear God. And then there's Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. Man is fallen. It happened with Adam and Eve. He said, "Well, doggone them." We can't fix Adam and Eve, folks. We can't even fix us. But God, in his greatness And his love for humanity made a way through Jesus Christ that we could be fixed. But it's only through Jesus Christ. Folks, I'll tell you again, as I've told you many times before, there are many of you who are members of a church. You're members of this church. You're members of some other church. Whatever religion you want to call it. Religion will not save you. Being a member of New Hope Baptist Church has no salvation to it. You're a member of New Hope Baptist Church, supposed to be, because you got saved. Because you came and were baptized into the fellowship of the church. But you are not saved because you're a member of the church. It doesn't work that way. It only works through Jesus Christ. He is the way. And we've got to understand that. 3:23 says, man has fallen, he's fallen, he's fallen. And there's nothing man can do to pick himself up. You know what happens when we struggle through our lives trying to pick ourselves up? People don't know how to deal with it. When people keep trying to pick themselves up out of situations, when people keep trying to fix their own situations, do you know what constantly occurs? They simply make their situations worse. I don't care if it's a personal relationship with a mom and daddy. I don't care if it's a relationship with a friend. I don't care if it's in a marriage. I don't care if it's wherever it is. When we try to fix things, we typically make things worse unless we do it in a godly manner with God leading the way. Especially in our own lives, folks, there is no fix other than letting Jesus Christ be Lord and Master of our lives. There's no other way. I wish I could tell you that. Well, no, I don't wish I could tell you that, because let me make you clearly understand something this morning. There's no greater way. There is no greater way, but the problem is there's only one way. There's not multiple ways, there is only one. See, what the Bible tells us, flip over to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you will see what man deserves for all man has done. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 simply says this. For the wages of sin, we talked about sin already, right? We all have it. There's not a person in this room, from me to the back row, who does not have sin in their life. If you sit here this morning and say, I have no sin, you're fooling yourself. But the Bible plainly says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, I'm fallen. Yes, I deserve death, but God made a way. Well, how did God make a way? Kind of keep your finger there in Romans. Flip over to John. John chapter 3. I'm going to find John in a minute. There he is. John chapter 3. Just a little preface to this verse. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to be born again? Look at Jesus' answer in verse 3. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Or another translation that might be, unless he is born from above. Not of woman, but of God. Unless we are reborn. Unless we are renewed. Unless we are reconciled. And the only way to get that, folks, is through Jesus Christ. Flip over, stay in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You all know this verse. See, because what I've been talking about is culminated right here. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I have no other options. I have nothing else on this earth that can save me. There's nothing else I can do. I cannot be good enough. Here's the problem with trying to be good enough. Let's just say I went all week long doing good things, working my way to heaven. That's not possible, but let's just say I tried it. But let's just say come Saturday, I messed up. How will I know when I've worked enough to fix that again? Because I'm constantly doing something wrong. So what the Bible tells us, there are not only sins we know we commit, we have things that happen in our lives that are sins we don't even know are sins. The Bible calls them sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of omission are those we don't even know about. Sins of commission, those are easy. Those are the sins I did because I wanted to. And you do the same thing. We do it because we want to. Somebody would ask you why you did it and you told them the whole truth. It wouldn't be that Satan made you do it. That's the world's answer, right? The devil made me do it. Understand this, the devil can't make you do nothing. He can entice you, he can tempt you, but he cannot make you. You, however, can make yourself do anything. You can make yourself sin, and you can stop from sinning. But the problem with that is you cannot stop sinning forever without Jesus Christ. The problem is you cannot be forgiven of your sins without Jesus Christ. You could live a blameless, perfect life from this day forward, but the problem would be without Jesus Christ, you still would not be free from the sin that you're packing with you, from the past sins that you're constantly dealing with. You would never be free from those. But John 14:6 says this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but except through me. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And folks, we need to understand that. There is no other way. There's no other option except Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. Because here's what God did. God made it easy for us. He said, well, it's not that easy. Yes, it is easy. It's easier than you think it is if you'll just let go of yourself. See, the problem we have is we want to hold on to the world and hold on to Satan, and at the same time try to hold on to God. And folks, that's not really possible. Because the Bible says plainly, you'll either love one and hate the other. The problem with that is usually people end up hating God because they can't do what they want to do. I actually had a young girl tell me one time, I don't want to come down there to the church, and I don't want to get saved because I want to do what I want to do. I couldn't believe she said it so plainly. She was the first honest sinner I've ever met. She was openly honest about it. I don't want that because I want to sin all I can, is what she was saying. I want my way. The problem with that, folks, is having it my way leads straight to hell. There's no other option. Having it my way leads straight to hell, and there's never going to be another option for me. And let me just tell you something about hell. The Bible speaks more of hell. Jesus Christ spoke more of hell than any other subject in the New Testament. The four Gospels, Jesus spoke of hell quite often. It is not some made-up fairy tale place used to scare children. It's not that. It is a real place where sinners spend, not just a little while, folks, but where sinners spend eternity. Anyone who dies and leaves this earth without Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in hell, and they will be misery upon misery upon misery. I cannot describe how bad hell is to you because I'm not there, I've never been there, and I don't plan on going thanks to the grace of Jesus Christ. But what the Bible tells me is that it's misery upon misery upon misery, and it never ends. You think the misery you're dealing with on this earth is bad? Let me tell you, folks, it has no comparison. I mean, how many of you have ever been burned? almost everybody's been burned somehow, some way. You ladies burn yourself with them old curling irons all the time or them flat irons. People get burned all the time. It hurts, right? And it don't hurt for just a few minutes usually. I mean, a real burn hurts for a while. Think about a place where that hurt never ends. That pain never ceases. That pain never goes away. That's what hell is. It's real. See, we've let the world put Satan with a pitchfork in his hand and a little cute little tail and say, oh, hell's no big deal. We've let the world do that. Actually, Satan is constantly telling you, oh, it's not that bad. We're having a great time down here. You know why Satan keeps trying to entice people to come down to him? Because misery loves company. That's why he's constantly, Satan hates God, so therefore he is doing all he can to prevent everyone he can from getting to God. That's why he tempts us. That's why he urges us. That's why he's constantly at our ear saying, God's not real, God's not this. Let me tell you something. You have to know beyond everything else in life that God is real, that Jesus is real, that hell is real, that everything about it is real, and I choose Jesus Christ. That's what we have to know. That's what we have to know. We must be born again. We must know that the way is through Jesus Christ and him alone. There's no other way to get to heaven. I can't be good enough. I can't join the right church. None of that will ever occur. It is only through Jesus Christ that I can find salvation. That's the only way. The First Church of Roland will not save you. The First Church of your mom and daddy will not save you. Only a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ will save you from the torment that will be hell one day. I mean, folks, think about this. You're a person who you try to do right, you try to do good, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One day, you're minding your own business, you're doing everything you think you need to do to go through life. And some guy comes up and kills you. He robs you. He leaves you there. Happens every day. Happens every day. I mean, in today's world, it happens more than we think, more than we know. The news media is on 24/7, and they can't report it all. But here's what's sad. If you die not knowing Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in hell. You know who you're probably going to get to spend eternity with? That person who killed you. Think about that. What about when those planes flew into those buildings back on 9/11? Think about this simple fact. I'm certain there were people in those buildings that day who were Christians. But I'm also certain that there were people in those buildings that day who were not Christians. I can't tell you how many were which and which one. Doesn't matter. I just know there were some of all. Those planes flew into those buildings. I can tell you this about the people who flew them into the buildings. They're not somewhere with 40 virgins. They're in hell. They're in hell. They're spending eternity in hell. Here's what's the double tragedy of that, is those people they killed or having to spend eternity looking at the one who killed them because they did not know Jesus Christ. They were just going through life. They were doing what everybody else does. They were going to work. They were paying their bills. They were coming home to their children. They were going to work. They were paying their bills. They were coming home to their children, going through the motions that we call life, when, folks, that's not what life is about. What life is about is Jesus Christ. What life is about is living for Him. What life is about is getting to know Him better. What life is about is one more day, one more hour, one more moment. We might be standing before Him, and we will be with Him for eternity if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And that's the only way you're ever going to get there. That's the only way. But look at Romans chapter 3 again. Go back. Romans chapter 3. You still got your finger there. Just flip back. I didn't keep my finger there. Hang on. Romans chapter 3. Let's look at that verse 23 again. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But look what it says. And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so that to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's always Jesus. Worse yet, or better yet, but there's only Jesus. He's our need. He's the one we got to reach for. He's the one we desperately need. See, I like how God arranged that in His Word. I've fallen, but there's Jesus. I've fallen, but God raised me up through Jesus. I have fallen, but God will continue to lift me up through Jesus Christ, through His grace, through His redemption power. Romans 5:8. I really like this verse. That means God had a plan way back before I ever knew about God. Romans 5:8 simply says this, that while we were yet sinners, but it says God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before I knew Him, before I knew about Him, before I ever knew there was anything about Jesus Christ, He died for us. You say, well, of course He did. That was 2,000 years before you were born. Let me tell you, folks, He, from the foundation of the world, the plan was that Jesus come forth and die for the sins of man. That wasn't some new invention. God said, oh, I made a mistake. I messed up. I gave Him the law. I should have given Him this. No, at just the right time, God's Word tells right here in these Scriptures, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I thank God that was me. But it is no longer me because I have Christ now. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what, folks? You have Him too. And you have that comfort of knowing that no matter what happens in this life, God's going to be in charge and God's going to get me through it. And if I die today, He's going to take me home. I can't give you any more comfort than that. That's the greatest comfort we can possibly have. Paul said it pretty better than I can. For me to live is Christ, to die is to gain everything. That's what it is. I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to that day. Oh no, I'm not ready to give it up today. I got things in this life still to look forward to. But if God decided to take me today, that's His wisdom, that's His knowledge, that's His goodness. But guess what? Whether it's today or 40 years from now, I'm assured of the fact that I know Jesus Christ, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Do you have that assurance in your life today? Folks, let me tell you, you can get it. It's pretty simple. Romans chapter 10. Let me show you how simple it is. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. Many of you probably know this verse. So how do I get, I'm fallen? First of all, folks, you got to admit you're fallen. You got to admit you're a sinner. Admit you're in need of saving. If you were hanging off a cliff right now, you would have no problem saying, help me, help me, help me. You would be screaming for somebody to come help. Folks, let me tell you something. You're not hanging, you're dangling. You're dangling over the fires of hell. That's what we're doing. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are literally dangling over the fires of hell. And whether you realize it or not, you need to cry out for a Savior. You need to cry out for Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when you do that, He will save you. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You realize there's a need and you cry out to God. Lord, save me. Lord, I confess my sins. Lord, I confess your Son, Jesus Christ. I confess Him, Lord. I hang on to Him. I believe in Him. Let me tell you something about that belief thing, though. The Bible says plainly about believing that Satan and his minions believe in Jesus Christ. And they don't believe as other people in the world believe. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. They just don't believe He's Lord. It says the demons believe and tremble. But they don't believe to the point of love. They don't believe to the point of knowledge of salvation. They don't believe to the point of knowing that He can save me from all this. Folks, you got to understand this morning that Jesus is the only thing that can save you. He's it. He is it. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Look what it says in verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And verse 11, as the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never, I like that, will never be put to shame. If you trust in God, you'll never be ashamed of it. If you trust in God, you'll never regret it. Because He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and there's no other way. I like verse 13 here. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, not just some folks, God's not selective in that manner. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? That means there is nothing, folks. You hear me? Listen to me real quickly. There's nothing you've ever done, nothing you've ever done that makes you such a horrible person that God will not forgive you of your sins. It says everyone. There is nothing you can ever do that is so horrible that God will not forgive you of your sins except never confessing Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the only one that'll get you kicked out. Of course, how can you be kicked out of something you were never in? If we confess Him, His Word says He is faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of unrighteousness to account for. But I remember the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I prayed that prayer and asked Him to forgive me my sins and come and be Lord and Master of my life. And He did what He said He would do. He forgave me. I want you to understand this morning, God is still in the forgiving business. He has not stopped forgiving. But let me tell you plainly, folks, He won't leave that invitation out there forever. There'll come a day when God will withdraw His Spirit from this earth and He won't offer that invitation anymore. I'm telling you to get it while it's available. And right now, folks, it's available. Who will be saved? Everyone who calls on Him. Everyone who calls on Him. I'm going to leave you one last verse this morning. You can let go of Romans now and flip over to Revelations. Revelations chapter 3. Look at verse 19. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you will see that this is the words of Jesus Christ. And in His words, He says this: "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." You hear that? God loves you, folks. He really does. There's not a person in this room today that God does not love. And the Bible plainly says, those whom God loves, He rebukes and He disciplines. But look what it says. So be earnest and repent. What does that mean for you? To be seriously minded about this. To truly know that you're a sinner. Be honest with yourself. See, so many people in this world, they're trying to fool everybody. You're trying to fool everybody. Let me fix something for you this morning. I don't care who you are in this room. Everybody in this room is a sinner. From me to the front row to the next row to the back row. Every single one of us is a sinner. Now here's the problem. If you can't admit you're a sinner, A, you don't know Jesus Christ. If you never have confessed you're a sinner, you do not know Jesus Christ. But if you confess, when you confess, God in His love will forgive you. Look at what He says. Be earnest. Be serious minded about yourself and repent. What does repent mean to do? It means turn from where you're at to where you need to be going. Repent is a concept. You might know going down the road sometime, you get lost in a car. Anybody know what you have to do when you get lost when you're in your car? You've got to turn around. You've got to turn around and go somewhere else. Go the other direction, because the direction you're going is not working for you. Folks, let me make you understand, repenting in your own life means you're going down a dead-end road. You're lost. You need to repent and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Master of your life. And when you do that, He'll take you down the right roads. And we desperately need that. Look what it says in the next verse. This is Jesus speaking again. And maybe He's saying this to some of you this morning. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Listen to how easy this is, folks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. King James Version uses the term, I will come in and abide with him. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. What you need is Jesus Christ to abide in your life. There's not a person in this room today who does not need that. Now, here's the question this morning. Either you know Jesus Christ or you don't. Be honest with yourself. Be honest. I'm not saying know about Him. I'm not saying asking you whether you celebrate Christmas or not. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ well enough that if you died today, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will be in eternity at the next moment? Do you know Him that well? If the answer is yes, praise God, and I hope you're living for Him. That's the other part of that, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. If your answer is no, Let me tell you something, folks. If your answer is no, that's okay. Because you can fix that right now, this moment. You can fix it today. You do not have to leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ. You do not have to leave this place without knowing that He is Lord. And I'm simply asking you this morning, no, I am begging you this morning. Folks, as I see the world around us, time is short. I don't know what's going on in the world as far as timetables and all these kind of things. I just know that time is short in this world. And I know that my need for Jesus Christ has never been greater, and that your need for Jesus Christ has never been greater. And whether you're here today and claim to be saved or lost, the answer is still Jesus Christ. And I'm just asking you this morning, as we begin this invitation, I'm going to pray, and then when the music starts, I ask you to get up out of your seats and come to this altar. If you do not know Him, come find me. I will lead you to Him, I promise. If you do know Him and you need to repent of something in your life, come to this altar and get it straight this morning. Today is the day of salvation. And thank God every day with Jesus is the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning in the name that is above every name, in the sweet and precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to You, Father. I pray for those seated here this morning, Father, that each and every one within the sound of my voice that has heard Your word declared this morning, Father, well, Father, will make a decision. Lord, they will say unto themselves, Lord, I will follow You. Lord, I want You to be Lord and Master of my life. And Father, You will just help them. You'll spring them out of those seats, Lord, and help them come and accept Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, there's no greater need that man has than a need for You and the need for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us all to realize that, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.